I invite you to consider God's word of truth for us. In Romans 14, we read three verses, beginning at verse 7. For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. In our two libraries at school, most of the books have a three-word stamp on the inside cover to indicate if that book belongs to the library in the AC or the seminary library in Ingram Hall. Likewise, pastors, professors, and other people will label the books they own with their name. People do that with other people. Parents give their children the last name of the family, which indicates that this child belongs to those parents. Jesus, as the text points out, does the same sort of thing on a much larger scale. He has put his name on you. He has labeled you as one of his own. And that ownership came at a very expensive price. After all, he is the Christ who died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. For you personally, that means the reality of our theme this morning. Jesus is the Lord of you. Can we let those words sink in and consider more carefully what it means to have Jesus as the Lord of you? Ideally, it means a blessed relationship in which we let him be in charge of everything. This is something your faith signs up for every day. By faith, we don't fight him for control. If we do, and we do, that's our flesh taking over. Instead, by faith, we are letting his word be the last word, the only authority, the only standard that determines, first of all, our convictions, what we accept as the truth and what we reject as false. Likewise, we let him take charge of other things, such as your values and priorities, your attitudes and your habits, your behavior, not only toward him, but toward people of all kinds. That person you share the gospel with comes to mind. People in authority over us in government and other institutions. And let's not forget the people around us right now, our fellow Christians. With Jesus in charge, that relationship between you and him could never become oppressive, since he is not some dictator who forces people to do his bidding. Although, isn't it true that he does control the actions of our life by telling us in the Bible what to think, what to say, what to do? And that's a very important thing because it puts us on a path where it won't be easy, since it rubs the world the wrong way. Friction, conflict with unbelievers. And it even goes against the grain of our sinful nature, which is the main reason why we continue to sin against him, even though we belong to him. However, Jesus, in that situation, does not act like a typical king might, or even a secular employer for that matter. He doesn't fire us for our disobedience, though we'd deserve it if he did. He does not imprison you for your crimes against him, our treason of sin, Although here too, we deserve it if he did. No, he reasserts his lordship in your hearts by calling you to repent, by moving you to confess your sins and then receive his decree of forgiveness, which he paid for at the cross. And then he locked it in as a guarantee by his resurrection from the dead. Your Savior, please realize, rose all the way to the top as the greatest Lord you could ever have. That's because he's more than Lord of your conduct. He's also the Lord of everything you face, including difficult things beyond your control. Think of him as Lord of your problems and also your blessings, Lord of your health and your wealth. You can expect him, therefore, to do right by you, to act appropriately in every situation, to keep his promises like this one in Romans 8, which connects the Father and the Son in such a comforting way. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Keep tracing this back to the cross. The sacrifice Jesus made for you is all the proof you need to know that he will keep us, the people who belong to him, in good condition. He invested too much not to. He invested too much not to give you food, clothing, protection, safety, family and friends, healing if that's his will for you, comfort, strength, whatever you need. Likewise, we can expect him to follow through to the very end and be the Lord who controls our destiny forever. He will determine things all the way to the very end, including how many days and years do we spend in this world serving him? When will it be that we relocate to that better life in his presence forever? The text puts it well. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. Either way, you can't lose, because Jesus is the Lord of you. In everything that you face, in life or in death, you can't lose because he has it covered. Everything controlled by his power and everything governed by his grace. And on that basis, then, we pray. Keep us, Lord, always as your own by the power of your Spirit working through your word in our hearts and minds. Amen. We close our worship this morning with hymn 338, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. I believe those are the last three stanzas, 3, 4, and 5 of hymn 348.